Well, I would sure appreciate your prayers. Need the Lord's help here today, the Lord's blessing upon His Word. I trust that's all of our desire and our purpose. I mean to go on. I've started for heaven. I've made a decision, and I mean to go on, and I mean to go through no matter what may come to try to intervene or interfere. My purpose is still the same. I mean to go on. And I believe what the song said, one moment in glory will amply repay everything that we might go through in this life. Like to speak by the Lord's help what I've written on the board, the merchandise of truth and wisdom. If you would turn with me to the 13th chapter of Matthew. Is a chapter of parables. Parallel stories, examples or illustrations that are trying to give understanding of what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like in language that we can relate to and we can understand. I'd like to begin in the 44th verse of Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. The kingdom of heaven, likened unto these similar stories or parables of a man who has found something of great worth, something that is valuable, something that's likened unto a treasure, and he wants it. He desires it and he wants to obtain it, and there's a price that he has to pay to be able to obtain this treasure. The kingdom of heaven is likened to that. You know that salvation is a free gift. Salvation is a gift that is offered unto all mankind. It's a free gift. It is available to all. It's not exclusive in regards to the idea of who it's available unto. It's available unto all mankind, to whosoever will, can find this salvation. This salvation is not just a common salvation. Just a common place of just, that's what I think of religions. Religions of this world. It doesn't take much to be a religious person, to observe some religious form or subscribe to a religious ideology. But this isn't just a religion. This isn't just a religious form. There is something here of such great value. And what it's portraying to us here is the value that these men saw, that they found there in the field. They said, it's worth whatever it takes. I'm willing to give up everything that I've got to get that. Salvation is a free gift, but it's going to cost us. It's available unto all of us. But if we want to get a hold of it, we're going to have to be willing to give some things up to be able to obtain it. And as these men reckoned up the cost that they were going to have to, it says, sell all that I have. That's not a decision that you make lightly, is it? Everything? There's no way I can get it unless everything I have, I sell it. I trade it in, I sell it, and I get money that I can take all of that collected together now and go and pay for this to have rightful possession under this field that I know the treasure is hidden in. Or a pearl of great price, of great value. Not just an ordinary pearl, not just one of many, but of great value, of extraordinary quality and worth. That's the pearl that I'm willing to sell. Maybe it's other pearls that have been collected, but I found it. Oh, one song says, "Oh, hallelujah, I have found it in the Lord, in salvation." Oh, I pray that we've got a good taste of it, to realize that it is worth more than anything this world has to offer unto us. The lengths of this world is willing to go to obtain what's important to them, to obtain their goals and their desires, and they see something that they want to obtain, that they find valuable. They're willing to deny, to save, to get an extra job, to whatever is required, because I want that. But this is talking about a spiritual treasure. And the question is, what effort are we willing to go to? What cost are we willing to pay to be able to have the treasure that the Lord has for every one of us? Something of great worth. So I'd like to turn now to the book of Job. Job, the 28th chapter. Job 28:1 says, "Surely there is a vein for the silver, and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness, and searcheth out all perfection. The stones of darkness and the shadow of death, the flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of foot. They are dried up, gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread. Under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold." Well, we won't read through all of this chapter, but it's worthy of reading and studying. You know, there's a place for gold. There's a place for silver. The Lord made this earth to be so. He made it where there's a place where it resides. Now, there have been times and places where people may be just walking up to a creek, see the glint of gold shining in the water. It doesn't take very long for word to get back. And people are willing to do just what we've talked about. We hear there's gold out there. And so I'm willing to sell my house and my homestead and my possessions and move myself or maybe my family too and start a new life, risking it all for the prospect of that glimmering stuff that's in the bottom of the creek. There's a place for it. But it wasn't often and it wasn't long that people found it just laying on the surface. They had to dig for it. There's a place for silver and gold and diamonds and all of those things, the way of the earth that the Lord created. But I want us to notice the question that's asked in the 12th verse. "But where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith it is not in me, and the sea saith it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, and the precious onyx, and the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold," etc. There is something of far greater worth than the silver and the gold and the jewels and all that this world clambers after. Man may learn the ways of this earth. Man may study geological formations and figure out the best ways to be able to go in and drill or mine and get the greatest return for their efforts. But you won't find wisdom there in the deepest of minds. You won't find wisdom and you won't find truth in those places. You're not going to find it laying at the bottom of a creek bed that you can go and scoop up a handful of wisdom. You don't find it like that. You can't go to the supermarket and buy a box of wisdom. and understanding. It is beyond price. You can't exchange or you can't give something to buy it. You know what that makes it? It makes it valuable. And that's why the scriptures are bearing out here that it is far beyond the value of these earthly things. And I pray the Lord would just open up to us again here this morning the great value of the things of God, of truth, and of wisdom. There is a place where it can be found. You know, to every one of us, there's a place where it can be found. Any man lack wisdom? There's a place where it can be found. Do we want to understand the truths of God's Word? There's so much ambiguity and uncertainty and confusion in our world today. As Pilate said, and people in the ages since then have asked, what is truth? Do we want to know? There's a place that it can be gotten. There's a place that we can get a hold of it. And it's not down again in the mines and in the earth, but there's a place that we can go to be able to obtain it. Let's turn now to the book of Proverbs. The second chapter of Proverbs, one you're likely familiar with, Proverbs 2 and beginning in the first verse. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then you're not going to find it. Is that it? If you want it, there's a place to get it. If you want it, it's accessible and available to any one of us if we're willing to seek for it. Not just expect that we'll find it laying on the surface in a superficial, shallow relationship with God or a superficial form of religion. I believe it was Elihu that said, days should speak and age should bear wisdom. But he wasn't finding that to be the case. He said, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. We can grow old and age should bring wisdom. You know, there's a lot of foolish old people in this world today. Age in and of itself is not going to procure wisdom for us and understanding of the right ways. But there is, again, a way to get it. There is a way and a place that we can go to be able to obtain it. We're going to have a desire to cry after it, to seek after it, just like those prospectors who go with the desire to strike it rich. Lord, I want to be rich in my soul. I want to be rich in the things of God, rich in understanding, rich in knowledge of the things of God. Lord, I want to be rich in wisdom. Oh, I want to walk in wisdom towards those that are without. Lord, I don't know how to get them. I see him walking down the street. I hear the sorrow of the stories they tell. But Lord, I can't do it for him. I can't make him accept salvation. Oh Lord, I need wisdom. There's a place that we can get wisdom. In whatever the need of our life, it says here, the promise, if we do that, if we seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Oh, thank the Lord. There is a place that we can go when we're uncertain, when we don't have the answers. There's a place that we can go. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need understanding. Lord, I don't know. I don't understand. Lord, I'm confused. That I can go and set my heart to seek after that, and the Lord is faithful to give it unto us. People today are seeking after a lot of things. Seeking after fattening up their retirement account, their investment portfolio, their toys. But oh, may we set our hearts on things above. Set our heart on, Lord, I want to invest in my spiritual prosperity. I want to invest in a spiritual bank account. Scripture says in the fourth chapter, let's get one verse here in the fourth chapter of Proverbs. Wisdom in the seventh verse. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Oh, I would that the world subscribed to this, followed after this, in all of thy getting, in all of your pursuits and ambitions that you're pursuing after. There is a wisdom of this world. Scriptures talk about it. The children of this world are wiser, in a sense, than the children of God. In that when they set their heart on obtaining a goal, a possession, they're willing to pay whatever price and sacrifice is required. They put their heart into it. They put their fervency into it. Folks, what we do here today and every time we gather together is not just because it's a check the box. It's not just because it's Sunday again or it's Wednesday again and then it's just what I was raised to do and it might as no, Lord. I want to come with a heart that says, Lord, I want to gain something. I want to leave a little bit richer in my soul. I want to be able to add a little more understanding of the ways of God. Lord, open my eyes a little wider to be able to see. And when we look into the Word of the Lord, it's not always going to be a euphoric, I open right to the verse, and oh, it just emblazons in my soul. There may be those times, and I pray there will be for you. But you know, the Word of the Lord is life and truth. And if I come to the Lord with a heart that cries after knowledge and understanding, if I'm willing to not just be one of those just walking along, I sure hope I find some gold. Well, I don't see any. I guess there's not any. Oh, well, no. Seek after it. Pull the shovel out, the pick. Start chipping away. Lord, I know you have it. I know it's down under here. And I'm going to spend some time trying to get a hold of it, trying to mine it out, trying to extract it. If we have that desire and that fervency, I believe that the Lord will meet us, that the Lord will begin to grant us that desire. Let's look now in the third chapter. Third chapter of Proverbs, in the 13th verse. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. You think that man that went and sold everything he had, you think he walked away with his head hanging low? He had something, he had a reason. And he went and he bought that field, and I believe it was with rejoicing and happiness that he sold everything he had. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. The merchandise of truth and wisdom. This word merchandise means properly gain. The gain of. And I want to think for a bit about what a merchant is. The man seeking the pearl, it would seem that he was likely a man who would have been engaged in the work of a merchant. The work of a merchant is to barter or to trade for something that you desire or something that maybe someone back home has need of. And so you're going to go with something of value yourself and offer that in exchange for something that I need or that someone else needs. And so a man like that might go in search of a pearl and make a bargain. Maybe you need something that I've got here. It's in our history, our country's history. Come with things from England and all that the Native Americans hadn't found. And there were things that they had that the settlers needed. And they found by bartering, by trading, that, wow, that's some beautiful beads. If somebody wanted or thought they needed beads, well, here I've got this to offer you in exchange of that. And so this system of bartering or of trading was developed far before that. We are called to pursue not only earthly pursuits, but to be merchants of wisdom and truth. And I want to consider some of what that means. My ambition, my goal, and my desire should be, as I am employed in this business, Lord, I want to gain more. I want to be able to get a hold of more. I want to be able to trade up and to be able to get something of greater value. Happy is the man who finds it, the merchandise of it, the gain of it. Gaining more and more of wisdom and of truth is far more valuable than anything of this world. We're trading things all the time in life. Make a decision. That thing that I want right there, is it worth the $100 price tag that's on it? Am I willing to part with that in exchange for this thing that I want? You know, people are doing it with their soul as well. Jesus said, if a man were to gain the whole world, you've gained it all now, and yet lose your soul, was it a good trade? Absolutely not. That is spiritual bankruptcy. The merchant has gone bankrupt. You have nothing left. You've dug yourself into a hole. You have nothing of value left. And people have gone wholesale in our world today. Spiritually bankrupt. When we're talking of things of spiritual worth, they've traded and bartered things of value, things of truth, things that this nation was founded upon, and come to a conclusion to say, that's not valuable anymore. I want to trade that for a more progressive idea. I want to trade that for being able to appeal unto maybe a political group of people or whatever, and they barter and trade. I want this favor, and in exchange for that, I'll lower my convictions. Convictions? Do we still have those in our nation? Do we see how things have been bartered away and our country is in a spiritual decline? People today are personally making decisions. Oh, I think of our precious young people with so much value. And yet the devil comes along and says, I got something better for you. You know, I didn't even realize until I got into high school and I know not everybody has been blessed with this, what I'm about to say. But I didn't realize how few people had a mother and father that loved each other and stayed together. It's commonplace for me. And I remember in one of my high school classes, for some reason, the teacher asked the question, who here have parents that have never been divorced? Well, of course. And I looked around, and in a class of 20 or 30, it was me and just a couple other people. Valuable. Such great value in a wholesome home. And the values that have been instilled in a godly family. There is such value in truth that the world is trying to diminish. It's not important. It's not really. It's your truth. Have you heard that? You proclaim your truth. And I have my truth. No. There is still truth. Right from wrong. Absolute. Founded on the Word of God. But the enemy is bidding high for truth in people's lives. Offering, well, here, why don't you take this instead? We are the merchants in this respect that I'm talking about. In our lives and collectively as the people of God, Lord, help us to be engaged in the business of the merchandise of wisdom and truth. Lord, I want more of that. Not more of the world, I want more of the things of God to be engaged. And I think of Esau and his trade. Wasn't that a foolish trade? Esau comes in and he's hungry, famished perhaps. And here's Jacob made a pot of his favorite stew. Oh, I need that. That's exactly what I need. And it's a picture of our world today. Saying, oh, I need what gratifies the flesh. What scratches that itch. What fulfills that immediate hunger of the flesh. Give me that. Give me that. And they're willing to exchange their purity, their innocence, that's of such great value. Esau gave away his birthright. Inestimable value for him and his lineage after him. And he traded it for a bowl of soup that lasted a matter of minutes. Lord, help us to make wise, sound decisions in what I trade. Am I willing? Is this worth this? Am I willing to pay the price to get this? What's it going to take? The devil doesn't like showing the price tag. He likes to show you, well, here's how much it costs per month. Or some other kind of trickery and salesmanship to obscure what the price really is. Lord, help us to inquire. All right, Lord, if I do this, what's it going to cost me? Because I think about the time that it says in Psalms 106 that the children of Israel were murmuring and complaining. Remember that? And it said God gave them their request. They got their request. But what did it cost them? But He sent leanness to their soul. Worth it? If you're engaged in the merchandise of wisdom and truth, you say it's not worth it. And this applies to our lives. Lord, help me to not be so intent on an easy way out or my way, my desires, that I fail to see the greater value that the Lord is having there for me. To say, child, wait on me. Trust in me. Set your eyes on me. Fix your heart, child. Something of far greater value. The Lord said to His rebellious people one time, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And in exchange for that, they have hewed themselves out cisterns. Broken cisterns that don't even hold water. What kind of exchange is that? But people are doing that. The fountain of living water that we can drink from in our lives, exchanging that for something that I try to collect the pleasures of life and of this world. And it leaks and it's dry and it's not there for me. Oh, I want to always trade up. And I want to come back to that little phrase, trade up. I want to look at a verse in Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke chapter 19 and the 13th verse. This is another parable that we're familiar with. For time's sake, I won't read it. But it is the parable of the servants that were delivered, had delivered to them 10 pounds. It says, He called His 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Well, we see the story of what they did with those pounds or the talents. You know, we have been given something and given the responsibility to make merchandise of it. Now, that has a negative use of the term. We're not to just put it on the auction block as for sale. But the Lord wants us to take what we have, the truth. If we were raised in the truth, folks, that's of great value. It doesn't mean that we have something nobody else can get. But cherish that and put that to use. Employ that for your spiritual benefit. Whatever the Lord has given us, talents, understanding, advantage of background or fellowship with the saints, of those sorts of things, employ that to our spiritual furtherment and development. Occupy till I come. Stay busy in this work of being a merchant and trying to gain more of that which is of spiritual value. Now there is a principle found in Mark, the 4th chapter, 23rd verse. It says, "Take heed how you hear, for unto you that hear shall more be given." The merchandise of truth. If I do something with what I have, I make it of more value. You know, the word of the Lord preached is wonderful. It's even more wonderful when it's applied in my life and I put it into practice. That is taking something, making it of greater value. People do this for a living. They might take a car, fix it up a little bit, turn around and sell it, and they made a little bit of money. Take a house, fix it up, invest some in it, turn around and get something of greater value. And you're always trading up. You know, the Lord wants us to do that. The Lord may give us a bit of understanding, spiritual understanding on a light. And now it's my job. What am I going to do with that? I can go and bury it in the ground, forget about it, or I can say, "Lord, help me to put this into practice in my life." And when I put it into practice, it makes it of greater value. It produces something valuable in my life. And then I come back to the Lord and I say, "Lord, you gave me one talent. Lord, I did something with that. And now here's two talents." And then the Lord can take those two talents and turn them into four talents. That's the way the Lord wants to take and work in our lives. That as I occupy till He comes, not just sitting by idly and hoping that I'll grow in the Lord. "Lord, I want to grow this. Lord, I want to grow in that area. Lord, I want to put this into practice." The Lord will give more. And by doing so, we can trade up. We can gain more, the merchandise or the gain of wisdom and of truth. You ever try to sell something, maybe a marketplace or whatever, and you have somebody come along, you're asking $1,000 for something. And they come along and say, "I'll give you $400 for it." "I don't want $400 for it. I want $1,000 for it. But I'll take $900. "Well, I'll give you $800 for it." "I don't want $800. I want $900. But I tell you what, bottom price, bottom line, $850, that's as low as I'll go." "Well, I'll give you $825. You ever have? Well, I think we all like a good deal. But you know, there's a place that you have to draw a line. And in that case, I just described to you, that party who's trying to buy that item from you can say, "Really? It's just $25 difference. You're going to walk away from a deal for $25? You know, the devil tries to do the same thing with us. He tries to get it into this question of, "Oh, what's the difference? It's just a small difference. So, come on, let's just loosen up a little bit. It's just a small difference." I remember one time, if I remember the story right, before I was married, still a home, Dad had a motorhome that he wanted to sell. I don't remember the price, but we'll use $10,000. Met the man at the appointed time and place and looked through the motor. "Oh yeah, like it, just what I wanted." But he said, "You know what? I'll give you this amount and quite a bit less." And Dad said, "No, I can't come down that much." "Well, that's all the cash I have. I don't have any more money than that." Dad said, "Well, I'm sorry. Thank you for your time. I'm going to go." "Okay, well, hold on." Suddenly found some more money. You know, there are principles. Now that's, whether you lose a few hundred dollars, what I want us to take away from this morning is that there's something much more valuable than whether I'm ripped off a couple hundred dollars, $50. And he could say again, "What's the difference? Come on. Look, I'm going to buy the thing. You're going to get most of what you wanted for it." At some point, I've got to draw a line and say, "I'm not going any further. If it's $5 less, I'm not going to go any lower than that." You ever heard the phrase to nickel and dime somebody? It is to charge or get money from them by one little line item, maybe after another, by one little detail after another, until, well, you have this charge added on, and you have that charge, and you have this little, it's just a couple dollars, and you have this little surcharge here, it's a couple dollars, and by the time it adds up to, there's not hardly anything left. I pray the Lord to help us to guard our minds and our thoughts against the philosophies of this world. This has weighed on my heart for a while. The devil, through the philosophies of this world, through earthly wisdom, wants to come along to us and say, hey, you see that doctrine you got there? I got something else for you. It's almost the same. Come on, just a tiny little difference. Just a tiny little difference here. Hey, that conviction that you've been holding, you know what? I got something else for you that looks just about the same. Just a little bit of difference. Beware human reasoning. Beware the devil's haggling. Because he uses this question. Well, what's the difference between this and this? Be careful of the question. What's the difference? There may be, just bring it down maybe to a little closer to where we live. There may be places of teaching, of doctrine, that someone says, you know what? I believe in holiness as well. But my idea of holiness is a little different. You know, I believe in modesty. But I don't see anything wrong with having all my arms exposed. I don't have any problem with... Well, I know the Scripture says that we put our trust in the Lord. But what's the difference between a bandage and... I want us to take note of where the question, what the difference, almost always leads. It's almost always to a diminishing. It's almost always to a point where the devil says, presents himself to our reasoning, what's the difference between this and this? It's never to say, well, let's bring the lower up here. It's the lowest common denominator. Where if we look at it and say, what's the difference? It's so close, it's to pull down to that lower level. And then there's someone else who says, oh, what's the difference? It's just nickels and dimes. It's just a little bit lower. It's just a skirt length a little bit higher. It's just, come on, what's the difference? And then it gets lowered a little bit more. Oh, come on now, what's the difference between... You see how it just continues on and continues on to a point that there is a progressive diminishing of practical holiness in people's lives until it gets to the point that it's not even recognizable. Yes. I want us to file that away. Lord, help us to take the warning with us. If we're not careful, the enemy will come along and present himself to our human reasoning, presenting these thoughts, these ideas. Well, what's the difference? It's so close. Come on. You're going to make such a big, folks. We are always to be marked by the Spirit of Christ. This is not about a stubbornness and about a, oh, well, I'm right and you're wrong. And I'm, no, Lord, help me to be able to know and to recognize, Lord, this is of spiritual principle. This is of truth that you've revealed to me. And at some point, just like the man that's haggling, at some point, I got to say, no, it's enough. And you know, with our standards, people can quibble about standards and what standards should be. But at some point, you're going to have to draw a line. At some point, you're going to have to say, that's too short. At some point, you're going to have to say, that's too revealing. At some point, you're going to have to say, that's putting too much trust in man. So where am I going to hold the line? Have I allowed the enemy to quibble with me? Have I allowed the enemy to diminish some of the value of what the Lord has for us? Before we close, I'd like to get Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. Oh, help us, Lord. Proverbs 23. The 23rd verse, thinking about being merchants of wisdom and truth. buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding, buy it. Oh, the Lord presents, get a hold of it. Whatever it costs, if I got to lay down my ideas, I got to lay down what I believe, what I think about it. That's not what's important anyway. Lord, what does your word say about it? And I buy that, I procure that, I make it my own. Now the second part of it, don't you sell it. Because there are going to be buyers come knocking. The world is bargaining high for what we have. The world is bargaining high to diminish the distinction between holiness, between a people who are set apart from the world and what the world is, to try to little by little diminish that until it's at the same waterline as everything else. Lord, help us to buy the truth. And when the enemy comes along, if he offers us 2 cents below what I've got, to say, no, I'm not interested. I'll exchange what I have. But remember the phrase I used earlier? Always trade up. I'll exchange. I've got to remain open-minded. Folks, I don't stand here proclaiming I have a monopoly on truth. I've got it all. I have, oh Lord, I still need. There's still things the Lord's unveiling to me and opening my understanding. And I've got to remain open to that. But always trade up. Never trade down. When the enemy comes along in this open-mindedness, saying, well, hey, I've got this for you. And I look at that and I weigh it against the Word of God and I say, that's of lesser value. I'm not taking that. And again, a little closer. Folks, there are saints of God scattered abroad this world. Thank the Lord for it. I'm so thankful I'm not, I love you all, but I'm thankful I'm not looking at the entirety of the Church of God. It is spread across the face of the earth by the blood of Jesus Christ and everyone that is redeemed by that blood. There becomes a bit of a difficulty somehow in practical application and living. Lord, how do I fellowship? We fellowship every blood-washed one, the Scripture says. Well, what does that mean? I can accept their testimony and thank the Lord and hug their necks with a heart of sincere love and appreciation. But I want us to get a hold of this, of what we've been talking about. Buy the truth and sell it not. I can look and say, but they seem so sincere. Oh, they love the Lord. And the enemy can present to our minds, look, what's the difference? Look, they have a little different view on sanctification. They have a little different view on modesty, on this. Come on. The bigger principle here is that we love the Lord. And thank the Lord, that is often the case. But we must not sell the truth. We must always trade up, because what the enemy wants to do is to say, well, if they love the Lord and I love the Lord, well, you know what? It's not important to hold on to what the Lord has given. There may be people that love the Lord that have no concept of what Holy Spirit leadership is. I'm going to tell you, I'm not willing to give that up. I'm not willing to sell that. There may be someone that says, look, I love the Lord and I worship the Lord with my hands and a fleshly manifestation of worship. I'm not willing to give that up. I can accept their testimony and pray with them and for them and love them. But when it comes to a blending and a reducing to the lowest common denominator, folks, if you have something of greater spiritual value, again, not in a place of pride, but as I look at the Word of God, there may be someone, as often is the case, they may be further ahead than I am in the things of the Lord. And the Lord opens that to my, yes, Lord. Lord, I want to be there. But there may also be someone who still loves the Lord, and to all they know and understand has been washed in the blood of the Lamb and living for Him, that has very little understanding. What am I going to do? Say, oh, well, what I have is not important. No, the Lord gave you that. Hold on to it. The Lord wants to bring them up to a higher spiritual plane too. But that's not going to happen if I reduce down to that place on a particular point of truth. Again, it can be through a dribble and drabble, a little bit here and a little bit there, until we so erase the distinguishing marks of the people of God and of His Word, and so minimize and blur the teachings of the Word of God and their practical application in our lives, that there's nothing but confusion left. That's not what the Lord has for us. I believe the Lord is still calling people into holiness and purity and true righteousness and calling His children together. But the rallying cry is not going to be what I can... Well, look, you're over here at 10 and I'm at 20, or let's just meet in the middle at 25. That's what a lot of church groups do. You're here, we're here, we'll meet in the middle. And that's not what you do with truth. The rallying cry is Jesus Christ and His Word and His righteousness that we all aspire and ascribe unto. That's where we meet, is at Jesus Christ and at His Word. And when we meet there, we'll be joined together. Thank you for your time. May the Lord help us in the merchant to be engaged in the merchandise of wisdom and truth. Lord, I want to learn more. I'm not there yet. Lord, I haven't arrived yet. There's more for me to learn, more wisdom that I need. Lord, I want it. And when the enemy comes along, on the other hand, trying to diminish the value of what I have, oh, Lord, help me to hold on to it and never to sell it. You pray for me that I'd be faithful. Amen.